to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. And so we talked about last week that there's something you need to know. You need to comprehend, be able to comprehend just how loved you are as a child of God. You need to understand that. You need to get a hold of just how loved. He said that. He said, my prayer is that you would comprehend the full measure of how loved you are. And that was kind of what they sang just a little bit ago. But I was looking through and reading and looking at a follow-up thought with that I wanted to give you. In Ephesians chapter number 1, and look at with me at verse number 15 first. It says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you my prayers. So here he is again in chapter 3. So I was bowing my knee and praying that you would comprehend the love of God and the full measure of it. But watch what he says in this one. In verse 16, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of, watch all of this, the spirit of wisdom and the revelation of knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being lightened, that, and watch this next one, that ye may know. See, the other one was, my prayer is that you would comprehend the love of God that he has for you, how much God loves you, that you'd comprehend it, you'd understand it, you'd know it. And here is again another prayer that he's praying, is that you would know some things, that you would know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And then the last one there in that list, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward. So what is this? He said, I want you to know some things. I'm praying that you would know some things. And what does he want us to know? And this isn't the message, but it's a little bit of it here. He wants you to know who you are and where you're headed. The hope of your calling. You've been called to be a child of God, but called with a hope. Jesus Christ is our blessed hope. Not that we hope we're going to heaven when we die, but that's the only hope we have, is that we're going to heaven when we die. And so that blessed hope. So where we're headed, but also when he talks about it, there the inheritance that is our glory, the inheritance there, the riches of it, what we have now as child of God. So where we're headed, what we have, and then he talks about the power that we've got, the Holy Spirit, and that's how we're going to get there. So he wants you to know some things. And folks, let me tell you something. Every person in here, number one, you need to know that you are loved by God. You got to get that first one. You comprehend that. But you need to know who you are. You need to know who you are as a child of God. You've got to get in your mind and understand who you are. Now, I've preached something like this about a year and a half ago out of some of the same section, but not just with the practical way that I'm going to try to give it to you today. You have got to know who you are, because I believe this to be true. I said it last week. You can't become who you're going to be until you first know who you are. Sometimes people have the weirdest ideas about who they are or what life is or who God is. And that's why I said, listen, I'm praying. This is what he said. My prayer is that you would have knowledge, but that you'd have wisdom, and that your eyes of your understanding would be open. You would understand some things about who God is and about how God works and about who you are and about what God wants to do with you. Because you can't figure out who you're going to be down the road until you figure out who you are right now. You've got to figure it out. And that's an important thing. Look at chapter 2. I just want you to see all this. In chapter 2, it says, and you hath he quickened too. Watch that next word. Were dead in trespasses and sins. You say, who was I? Well, I was a person dead in my trespasses and my sins before I believed in Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 2. Where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in, watch, in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But I love the next phrase. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is who you were, but when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you are no longer who you were. Now you're somebody brand new. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. You're a new person. And listen, let me tell you something. You have got to get in your mind who you are now. If you're saved, you are a new creature. You're different than you used to be. That's why it says, in times past, and ye were dead in trespasses and sin. That's not who you are anymore. You are quickened, which means you're alive now to the things of God. And so there's a difference. Look at with me at verse number 12, and the same thing. That at that time ye were, watch, without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise. Listen, you didn't have any hope. No promise that you were going to have, having no hope without God in the world. That's who you were. That's who you were. But watch the next little phrase there in verse number 13. But now there's been a change. But now in Christ, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us. So the idea is that you were separated from God. You were an alien from God. You did not have access to any of the promises of God. You were without hope and without Christ in this world. And who you were a person that walked after the course of this world. That's what it said in chapter 2 in the very first verses there. You walked according to the course of this world. You did all the things that this world does. But that's not who you are anymore. Amen. Now you're walking with God. Now I'm in Christ. And that's an important phrase you've got to get a hold of, understanding this phrase in Christ. I've told you this before, but all through chapter 1 and all through chapter 2, there is a little phrase called in Christ. You say, how did I get in Christ? When you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, right then, right at that very moment, God moved on the inside of you, right? The Holy Spirit moved inside of you. Christ lives inside of you. But even better than that, you are now sealed inside Christ. That's who I say, that's hard for me to get my mind wrapped around. I know it's hard for many people to get their mind wrapped around. The best way I could describe that is this. Say there's an airplane that's parked outside in our parking lot. Say there was. And say that God's chosen that airplane. That's the only way to get from here to the destination, which we'll say is heaven. That's it. And on the side of it, it doesn't say American Airlines. It says the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. Now, when you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what? The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, for by one Spirit we all baptized into one body. And so the Holy Spirit places us into Jesus Christ. And listen, wherever Jesus Christ is going, that's where you're going as well. And that's the best way I can describe that thing to you is when you got saved, the Holy Spirit connected you with Christ in such a way that where He is, there you are also. You're one with Him. And so you're inside Him. You're connected to Him. And that's an important phrase for you to get. And I want to help you get a hold of some things today, some truths about who you are now that you are in Christ. Remember I told you, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be where? In Christ. He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You're a new creature. You're a new creature. But see, here's the problem that most of you have in the room. This is where most of you have. I was 26 years old before anybody ever gave me a clear presentation of the gospel. So that means for 26 years, I walked according to the course of this world, right? Doing those things that the prince and the power of the air said, that's what people do. That the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. That's who I was. I was dead in trespass and sin. That's what it says. And so were you. If you're saved today, that's who you used to be. For 26 years, I walked that way. For 26 years, I developed kind of habits and routines, and my understanding was a certain way. You say amen right there? I understood things to be a certain way. I understood love to be a certain way. I understood God to be a certain way. It was all flawed. It was a flawed way of thinking, but that's what I thought for a very long time. And a lot of people are like that. And so then they've got that mindset of that. And so what is Paul praying here? Paul's prayer is that they would receive knowledge, wisdom, and the eyes of their understanding would be opened, and they would, from this point on, know who they are in Christ. Why? Because you can't reach the potential of what you're supposed to be for Christ until you know who you are in Christ. You've got to know. You've got to know. We mentioned some verses in Romans 12 sometimes, and you know them. He says, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then it says this in verse 2 of that same chapter, chapter 12, in verse number 2, it says, and be not conformed to this world. Now, I tell people all the time that have you ever been to a Mexican restaurant and had chili con queso? Right? What does that mean? That means chili with what? Cheese. Chili with cheese. I was making sure I had it right. Chili with cheese. Chili con queso, it's with cheese. All right, so what does conformed mean? With is what con means is with, so with form. So be not conformed, be not with the form of this world. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the what? Renewing of your minds. And that's what all of you have got to have happen. See, for so many years you've walked according to the course of this world, doing the things the world does, and now you've got to have your mind renewed and be transformed from who you used to be to who you are. You say, be transformed, how? Well, when you got saved, you automatically became a new creature, but now your mind's got to catch up with who you are. And so you got to start thinking the right way about who you are. You say, preacher, you preach about this a lot. Yes, because I talk to a lot of people, and the problem is they don't know who they are. And until you figure out who you are, you can't fix some of the problems you've got in your life. You need to figure out who you are. And so I want you to see by looking at just some of these things right here, very quickly, some of the things that you are, and you remind yourself of every day of who you are. And it's found in Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse number 3. I'm just going to run down the list very quickly of some things that you are, and you need to get in your mind today, of who you are. And it's been declared to be this way. It's not something, well, the preacher told me I am. No, I want you to see very plainly, the Bible says this is who you are. This is who you are. Look at verse number 3. Blessed be the God and our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, that's already done, hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. The next little phrase you've got to get, in Christ. Folks, if you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are in Christ. And let me tell you something you might not know about yourself. You need to get this morning. You are blessed because you are in Christ Jesus. You say, preacher, I don't feel very blessed. You weren't at my house this morning when we were getting ready this morning. And everything was going wrong. And we got in the car this morning and the gas tank was on empty. And my wife was supposed to fill it up. Or the wife saying, my husband was supposed to fill it up. Or whatever it is. Preacher, I didn't feel very blessed. And listen, it's not a matter of how you feel. The fact is, you are blessed. You are blessed in Christ, and you need to get that in your mind. You say, I don't feel like I'm a very blessed person. Folks, you've got the wrong feeling. The fact is, you are blessed in Christ Jesus. And you think about that for a minute, how blessed you are. Brother Gene was up here giving a testimony. He said, you know what? I'm blessed. Let me tell you how. Because I know God can take care of everything going on inside my body. But here's something even more blessing. That if God chooses to not take it away from my body and this life ends, guess what? This is the worst it'll ever be for me because I'm going to be in heaven for eternity after that. Amen. You are blessed, people. We need to get our mind thinking about who we are, because if we're just walking toward the course of this world, we think a certain way. But folks, you got to get your mind thinking the right way. Be transformed by the renewing, making new of your mind, that you are a blessed person and blessed indeed. Can I tell you something? You're blessed. You're blessed. I can tell you all the things that I'm blessed with. I'm blessed with a good wife. I'm blessed with a pretty good mother-in-law, I would say. I'm blessed with a good mother-in-law. I don't know. I didn't listen to the skit she did the other day, but I feel like I'm pretty blessed. I'm blessed with a good wife, blessed with a good family, blessed with good health. I'm blessed with a good home. Listen to this. I'm blessed with a good church. Amen. I'm blessed with good family and friends within this church. I'm blessed with the Word of God. I don't have to try to figure out what I'm supposed to do with my life. I've got God's Word on what I'm supposed to do with my life. I'm blessed. I have the Holy Spirit living inside of me to lead and guide and direct me. I'm blessed in so many different ways. And listen to this. So are you. You're blessed. You're blessed. And you need to get that in your mind, that that's who you are. That's who you are. Not who I will be blessed someday. No, he says he hath blessed us. It's a done deal, folks. Signed, sealed, delivered. You got it. You're blessed. Number one, you're blessed. But then look at verse number 4. According as he, here it is again, hath, it's past tense. According as he hath chosen us, here it is again, their little phrase, in him. Folks, if you're in Christ, you are chosen. Hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Chosen. Anybody ever been on a little pickup game or something somewhere out in the playground and playing, maybe you're going to play football, or maybe you're going to play basketball at the basketball court? I used to go play basketball at the basketball court all the time. Anybody in here ever got picked last? Anybody ever done that? Not me, but maybe you have been picked last. You ever felt like maybe you got picked last? You know what? You didn't get picked. If you were last, you didn't get picked. You just got stuck with whoever else was on that team. You can get picked. You know what? That feels lousy. And doesn't it not feel lousy when you're not picked, you're not chosen? And listen, walking according to the course of this world, you know what I got? You get to thinking, man, I nobody wants me. I'm not chosen. Nobody really wants me in anything. But folks, let me tell you something. That's the old life, and you got to get your mind renewed and know who you are. You have already been chosen in Christ. Amen. You have been chosen. He chose you, and that's a pretty... Listen, I'm trying to get you to change your life by changing and getting your mind lined up of what the Bible already says is you. It declares it to be that. Chosen. Chosen. Watch what he says in verse 5. Having predestinated unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Now don't let all the different predestination, all that stuff tie you up. We'll talk about that in a future day some other time. But I want you to just get some of these words that describe who you are. It says you've been chosen. And watch in verse 5, you've been adopted. Now let me tell you what's good about this. If you think about it, hold on to your seats because this is really good. The idea is you go to a playground, you got a bunch of kids, and maybe you've got a bunch of kids sitting there, and this kid says, I've been adopted, and all the other kids maybe say to that kid that's been adopted, well, I was born into my family, I'm better than you are because I've been born in my family. Let me tell you what, that's not true. That's not true. Because what that little kid can say back is, yeah, but your parents had no choice about you, but let me tell you about me. I was chosen. I was chosen. And I was adopted into the family. It was good. Think about this. Why did he choose? He said, because of his great love and his pleasure. Amen. You know what? Sometimes some little kids get adopted, and they, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something about you. You got to get this now. When he adopted and chose you, you weren't no real prize. Now, you said, I'm shocked. I thought I was a real prize. You weren't no real prize. Let me tell you something. Sometimes when a little kid is adopted, they have issues in their life. Maybe they come from something that's pretty troubled. They have issues. But you know what? Watch this now. This is good if you'll think about it. It's not because how great that kid is that they adopt. It's because of the great love that family has that they adopt. Huh. That's good. You think about it. And so it's because of the great love and the great love that God has for us. If we got issues, folks. Can I tell you, if you didn't think you got issues, we got issues from right up here to right back there. We got issues. All of us do. But he still loved us. And in his great love, you know what he did? He chose us and adopted us. And we need to think about that. Think about who you are. You're trying to get your mind wrapped around who you are. And this is what, maybe in this world you've been told you're nothing, you're a loser. Whatever this world has told you along the course of this world, and you've been with the form of this world. Folks, let me tell you, I'm trying to get you to help you see the same thing Paul was praying, that you would have knowledge, wisdom, and the eyes of your understanding would be open, and you would know who you are now that you're a child of God. Yeah. You've been chosen. You've been chosen. But let me tell you what else you got. Keep reading down. In verse number 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us, watch, accepted, watch this now, in the beloved. The beloved is Christ, so you've been accepted. Here it is again, that same phrase, in the beloved. If you are in Christ, now, you've been chosen, you've been adopted, but watch out, you've been blessed, and watch this, you have also been accepted. You've been accepted. You say, well, I've never really felt, now watch now, you may be this person, you may say, I've never really felt that I was very accepted. Maybe you felt that way. Maybe you could secretly, right now you wouldn't raise your hand, but in your heart, you're raising your hand, jumping up and down, saying, that's me. I've never really felt accepted because of whatever the standard, watch now, we're walking according to the course of this world, whatever standard this world has told you, you've got to live up to. You've got to look a certain way. Watch this, you've got to be a certain weight. Think about that. You got to be a certain way. You got to look a certain way. You got to talk a certain way. You got to act a certain way. Whatever the thing, the standard that this world has put on you, and you've got to conform to all those different ways just to be accepted. Can I tell you something for the young people in the room? I would hate to be a teenager in this day and time because the pressure sometimes is so much for you to try to fit into any kind of acceptance anywhere. And so sometimes what kids do to feel accepted, and adults do this too, is maybe you see one kid that's the class clown. And why is he the class clown? You think, what's wrong with this boy? What's the issue? Why is he trying to be the class clown? You know why he's trying to be the class clown? Because when people are laughing along with him, maybe then he feels accepted by people. Maybe you have one that's he's really good at football or basketball or baseball. He's really good at academics, something like that. And this kid's just trying to excel in whatever. And maybe it's because he's got a good work ethic. But some kids, the reason why is because they just want people to like them. So if I can be the very best at everything, then maybe somebody might like me. That's the problem with the course of this world. It is always the acceptance level is always adjusting and always moving. And you can never find acceptance sometimes. Hard. And so some kids just give up and say, you know what I'm going to be? I'm going to be that person. We had them in our school that was, I'm just going to be a rebel against everything there is out there. Why? Because there's no use in trying to fit in. I don't fit in. I'll just rebel against everybody. I'll be that hard one that rebels against any type of authority. Well, that's something that's happening to people all over the place. You say, what is that? People trying to feel accepted. But let me tell you something you need to get a hold of. You, if you are in Christ, you are accepted already. Amen. You have been accepted. You are His. Listen, watch this now. You got to get this. It's not a, I will do this. Now, you children here, you child of God, listen to this. It's not that I have to do this and do this and do this and do this and then God will accept me. The idea is you have already been accepted. Amen. And now I do because I have been accepted, not because I'm hoping one day He will accept me. And you need to get your mind thinking the right way. I have already been accepted in Christ. I'm blessed. I'm chosen. I'm accepted. Look at the next verse down, verse 7. In whom we have redemption. Or in whom? That's the phrase you get. In whom? Who's that talking about? Christ. In whom we have redemption through His blood, forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Let me tell you something. I have, and you have, if you are in Christ, you have been redeemed from the penalty of sin and the death that's the consequences of that. You have been redeemed from it. But watch this now. You also need to get this. And the forgiveness of sins according to riches of grace. Let me tell you what a lot of people have a hard time dealing with. You've got to get this. As they say, preacher, this is who I used to be. I was a liar, a thief, an adulterer, a whatever, a drunkard, a whatever it was. This is who I was when I was walking according to the course of this world. And then one day I came to a place I realized I was a lost sinner. I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He saved me from my sins, and now I'm a child of God, but I just can't get over my past and who I used to be. Can I give you some help? God's already got over your past and who you used to be. Amen. It has been forgiven. It has been cleansed. And let me give you a couple of verses that you need to get a hold of. In Isaiah 38, 17, it says at the end of that verse, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. That's God. He's cast all the sins now. You say, where are my sins at? He's cast them behind His back, not looking at those sins anymore. At Isaiah 43, 25, it says, I am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. Can I tell you something about God when He's forgiven you of your sins? He says, I'm never bringing those sins back up again. They have been forgiven. Amen. He's gotten over it. It's you that's holding on to it. And if you're not who you used to be, you need to forget that old you and be thinking about who you are. Now, Micah 7:19, it says, and thou wilt cast all my sins into the depths of the sea. Yep. They're gone. And then the one you know in Psalm 103:12, it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed my transgressions from us. Think about that. How far is the east is from the west? How far is it? It's infinite. You can never go east and end up going west, right? You say, I think I can. Try it now. Just start going. You're never going to get there. You can keep going east forever and ever and ever. Now, you can go north far enough that you're going to start going south, but you can't. That's why He said, He didn't say north from south. He said east from west because they're infinitely separated from us. So listen, if He's forgiven them and He's cleansed them and He's forgot them and He's put them behind His back and He's put them in the depths of the sea and He's infinitely removed them from us, then what do you need to do? Do the same thing. Amen. Most people can't move forward because they can't forgive themselves for what they've done in their past. But you got to move forward. So this is who you are. You're chosen. You're accepted. You are redeemed and forgiven. Let me give you a couple of last ones right here. Look at verse 11. In whom, now who's the whom? That's Christ. in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. Here's the salvation deal here. In whom ye also trusted, watch, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, watch this now, so you trusted it, the word of truth, after you heard it, which is your salvation, and then you believed after you heard it. The rest of it says, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession and the praise of His glory. You say, what does all that mean? When I got saved and I'm in Christ, listen, I got an inheritance. You know what an inheritance is? Any heir of that throne, any heir, any child of that person, they are an heir to anything that's coming to them. It's a gift that's going to be given to them. And folks, we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. So I've got some inheritance. Let me tell you what the earnest is. You already put an earnest money down in the house. It's a little bit now letting you know I'm coming back for it later, right? You know what our earnest is? The Holy Spirit lives inside of us and sealed us unto the day He comes back for us. I mean, yeah, two things I get from this inheritance part. One of them is this, and we need to all get a hold of this. This is not the end. If there's an inheritance, and I've only got part of it right now, and the rest of it is still yet to come, that tells me this is not the end, what we see right now. There's something even better waiting for me on the other side. That's part of my inheritance. You've got to get a hold of that, because that'll help you in your life. You've got to get away from the way you used to think and now start thinking, this is not the end of what we're doing. This is just part of what we're doing. There's more on the other side yet to come. Amen. But the other thing you need to get a hold of is you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. You know what that means? You can't lose your salvation.
Amen.
Anybody in here ever had a nanny, grandma, whatever you call her, mama, whatever you call her, that made preserves? Anybody ever here had somebody that did that for you? The rest of you, you are missing out. What is wrong with you? They made preserves. You know what they do? They'd put all that stuff in that nice jar, and they would put that little cap thing on there, and they would seal that thing down. And you know what? It would stay what? Preserved. Everything in that jar would stay perfect and stay good. As long as it's there, it's sealed, it would stay good. And then one day you come and you pop the cap off of that thing and you do something with it, right? This is what it said. You've been sealed in Christ unto the day of redemption. Meaning until the day He says, and pops you out of here. And look, you've been sealed there. You've been sealed. And you know what that does for you? This is what I'm trying to get you to see. In this world, maybe you came up in a family where a father or mother left you, or you had a family, something else, somebody left you, or somebody didn't treat you quite right, and you got the mindset of this world thinking that way. You need to get a new mind. And the new mind is you are secure. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. He says, I've gone to prepare a place, and I will come and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. There's nothing ever going to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And that is something you've got. I told you last week, the completeness of His love is that there's nothing, how many things? Nothing can separate us from, Romans chapter 8, verse number 38, nothing can separate us from the love of God where? In Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ, nothing separates you. Got to get your mind thinking the right way. Chapter 2 and verse 6, the last two are so fast. Chapter 2, verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places. Where? In Christ Jesus. Folks, if you're in Christ, remember, old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. If you're in Christ, you know where you're at today? I've told you this so many times, you should all know it. You know where you're at today? You say, I'm sitting on the fifth row at Victory Baptist Church on the left side. No. That's where you're physically sitting. But can I tell you where you're spiritually sitting? You're in Christ Jesus, seated in heavenly places. And if He's at the right hand of the throne of God, so are you. Say, so I don't get that. Yeah, me neither. But that's what the Bible says. And the idea is this. You say, well, what do I draw from that? Well, the other one was I'm secure. This one is I am seated right next to God right now. Let me tell you how good that is. Let me tell you how good that is. Some of you are going to come pray in a little while, and you'll come down here, and you'll get down on your knee, and they'll play a song. And as you get down on your knee to pray right here, what you're thinking, maybe sometimes you're thinking, is God listening to me? Is God really able to hear me? Is God really paying attention to who I am and what's going on with me? Is my prayers even making it out of this ceiling? Did it make it through the ceiling tiles and make it through the tin roof? And did it make it through the clouds and the atmosphere and the stars? And it make it up to where he's at in the third heaven? Did my prayers actually make it all the way through all that to get to where he's at? Did they really get there? I'd say it's a whole lot better than even all that. If you want to talk to him, all you got to do is maybe just look over to the if you see the right hand of the throne of God, look over at 11 and say, God, I need to talk to you for a minute.
Amen.
You say, how do you know? Because I'm seated right next to him. If Jesus is at the right hand, so am I.
Amen.
Why? Because I'm in him.
Mm-hmm.
And so that means that if I need to talk to him, watch now, I can talk to him any time I want to talk to him. It means I could be driving down the road. It means I could be mowing my grass. You say, you pray while you're mowing your grass? Not with my eyes closed, but I do pray while I'm mowing my grass. I pray while I'm driving. And sometimes you think, that's why you're swerving all over the road. No, I pray all the time. You know, the Bible says you should pray without what? Ceasing. You can pray all the time. And so, you know, once I got a hold of this truth, I understood that I can come to him. You know, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 4, we can come boldly before the throne of grace. So we can come boldly. You know what that means when I think about coming boldly? That means that I don't have to wonder. I wonder if he's got time to talk to me right now. Maybe he's talking to Brother Aaron Bibb. I'll wait patiently over here until he gets through. No, I can come boldly. I can kick the door in and walk right in and talk to him. When I'm counseling with somebody in my office and my wife calls me, listen, she can come boldly to me anytime she wants. And I'll say, excuse me, I know I'm in the middle of something, but I need to answer this. This is my wife calling, and that's pretty important. I'm important? Yeah, but not as important as this. This is pretty important. And if I'm in my office and my wife needs to get a hold of me for something, she knocks on the door, I might say, who is it? And if she says it's me, I say, oh, okay, hold on a minute. She's coming. You know why? Because she's pretty important to me, and I'm going to make time. She can come boldly to me anytime she wants to come to me. You know what's great about God? You can come boldly to him anytime you want to come to him.
Amen.
And you're not that far away, folks. You're just right here next to him.
Amen.
Excuse me, Father, I need to ask you something. And that's how close you are to him. And you need to get a hold of that. You need to get a hold of that. And the last thing, look at verse 10. Last thing is this. For we are his workmanship created where? In Christ Jesus, unto good works. Because somebody's going to say this at the end. They say, preacher, I hear what you're saying. Let me tell you something. This is really hard living this Christian life. I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can do all the things we've been talking about. Can I tell you what? You can do it. You can do it. You know why he said? He said, you have been, watch this now. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You know what? He created us in Christ to do everything he's asked us to do. And that's why Paul made that statement. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Say, I don't know if I can do all this, preacher. I don't know if I can live up to all this. I don't know if I can do all the things that this Bible's saying. Can I tell you something? You absolutely can if he said you can.
Sure.
You can live for him. You can be victorious for him. You can do great things for him. But you say, how do I do it? You're going to get your mind. You have to listen now. Get your mind changed.
Yeah.
You say, preacher, how do I get my mind changed? Right here.
Right.
By the renewing of your mind. He said in Romans 12, for by renewing your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And when you get home, you do a study and you read the rest of it. Let me tell you what it says. It talks about all the gifts that you have in Christ. Watch now. You can't find out just how gifted and how greatly you can be used of God until the first thing you do is you stop conforming to this world and get transformed by the renewing of your minds. So, again, what I said at the beginning, you can't figure out where you're going and what you're going to be doing until you first figure out who you are. And if you figure out who you are, man, the possibilities are endless of what you can do for Christ. And everybody in this room, you need to make a list of these things I just told you. You need to make a list. You're blessed. You're chosen. You're adopted. You're accepted. Listen, you have been forgiven. You are sealed, which means you're secure. You're seated right next to him, which means I can talk to him anytime I want to talk to him. And that I do have the ability to follow through with what God's told me I can do. You need to make a list of those things. You know what you do every day? Remind yourself of who you are.
Yes, sir.
Every single day. Let's stand to our feet.